Ben Fagan here with another episode of Career Cash, the podcast. And on this episode, I sit down with a member of the Miami Marlins social media team, Mia Valiz. On the episode, Mia and I talk about the carryover between what she learned in college and what she's doing now, how she parlayed a role in guest relations into a job in marketing, and why sometimes something as simple as a smile can make all the difference. It's an awesome conversation. Let's get to it. So we are back with another episode. I am very excited, like I am for every episode. And today we have Mia Valiz. Mia, how are you doing today?
Pretty good, Ben. Thanks awesome. For having me.
Absolutely. We got a little work from home day action going for those of you who are just listening in, you know, just working from home, sitting on the nice comfortable couch. But you know, that's a sign for a good podcast episode. So let's get into it. What do you say?
Yeah, let's get started. I'm excited.
Awesome. Awesome. So what I like to do to kind of bring context for everybody listening is catch up on what you do on a day-to-day basis, where you're at, and then we can kind of dive into how you got there. So what do you do? What's your day-to-day look like?
So I currently work for the Miami Marlins as a member of the social media team. And so basically what that would look like is on a home game, kind of getting to the ballpark once baseball operations start. And kind of just being around for gathering any content that we have to get before the game, taking care of any sponsorship posts or partnerships, just manage all the Instagram, you know, Twitter, Facebook, all the social media pages. And then once the game starts, working play by play and basically watching the game, just post any updates and everything that happened. And then when the team travels, my manager travels with them and I get to work the games from home. So it's a good balance between the two.
Nice, nice. That's awesome. That's awesome. And we're definitely going to dive more into, you know, the stuff that you do and kind of what goes into, you know, working in the social media, especially in the pro sports world too. But I want to go back in time a little bit. We're going to hop in the time machine, you know, to coming out of college, coming out of school and looking towards it. Because I know we had even met, we kind of talked about it. And, right. You know, there was a brief period of time where, you know, you may not have been certain what direction, you know, to go in. So can you kind of walk me through what that was like kind of coming out of school and looking towards the future?
Yeah. So coming out of college, I think was definitely, I was, you know, to be honest, I was pretty scared. It was a big deal, just kind of like taking on the world all of a sudden. And you're not in that little bubble anymore where you're in school and everyone's, you know, protecting you. You have all these assets with you. And it was really just like taking that first step in what I wanted to do and making sure I knew what I wanted to do and it was the right direction for me. I knew I wanted to work in sports. That was like number one. So I was looking at, you know, all the pro teams, minor league teams. And I was really open to a lot of things. I wasn't kind of just nitpicking to like my main goal because I wanted to be able to branch out, you know, meet people and whatever I had to do. And I saw an opening for the Marlins and I kind of just, it wasn't the social media. It wasn't my dream job or anything. It was guest services and it was very introductory of a job. And I was like, you know what? It's not my dream job, but it's also my first like real job out of college. So let's do it. Who knows who I'm going to meet, you know, what I'm going to learn. And I kind of just, I applied, got a call, interviewed, and it ended up being the most amazing decision I could have ever made. So grateful for that. You know, it was a good decision, but definitely scared. It took a long time. It was very time consuming, making sure that, you know, resume stuff, interview skills, like just kind of gathering all of that could be stressful, you know, but also having that support system. I'm fortunate that I have a family that's surrounded me and, you know, always supported me and helped me with everything. And I have a very good friend group that was willing to help me with everything I needed, you know, practice interviews with me. But it was definitely a process and it was a big step. And it's just, you know, taking it slow, you know, whatever you need to do, nothing has to be rushed. You know, it's just about progress and, you know, seeing where you are and where you want to be and setting small goals and just reaching them from time to time.
Just simple as that. I love it. No, that's really really great points. You know, no, you're really speaking well here. So talking about like this idea of feeling not having to rush it, was that something that you a mentality that you adopted early on, or was that something that you've more recently adopted, this idea of like, hey, I can take a breath, like, and build my career out?
Yeah, it definitely took time getting used to, especially coming out of like college athletics, because that was something that, you know, I grew up doing. I was always around playing softball and going to school. That was always my life. And I was so in that routine that now coming to a new part of my life that I wasn't used to, and, you know, was completely different. I had to slow down and say, you know what, this is new. We're back to level one. It's a completely different learning curve. You know, it's not going to school, doing your homework, studying, you know, going to hit in the cage. It wasn't at all. It was taking everything that I learned from that and now applying it to this, and just kind of following and listening to people older than me, you know, friends that have gone through it, and just kind of taking pieces from them and putting it together and taking baby steps. There, no rush at all. Had to take it slow.
Mm-hmm. And what were some of those things that you adopted from your time playing and just going to school and living that lifestyle and living that routine that you see has carried over, even though you are starting from square one? What has the crossover been for you?
I learned so much about just working with people. Uh-huh. And a team. I mean, working on a team, you know, I mean, right. 23 girls at least on a softball team, you know, so many different work ethics, so many different personalities, you know, and at times it's dysfunctional and you have to be able to work together. You know, you have to be able to problem solve. And I've definitely noticed that working now in a professional setting where, you know, my coworkers come from totally different backgrounds. Some of them, you know, maybe they don't even speak English, you know, and you have to compromise, you have to figure out ways to work together. So that was definitely one thing. And also just nothing's going to get handed to you, you know, in a sport, you have, you know, you're fighting for a position, you have to work for it. In a professional setting, nobody's just going to say, hey, here's your job, you know, go, great, congratulations, welcome. It all comes with competition and, you know, working hard. And I would say those are the two main things that I took with me.
Yeah, definitely. And as you started in guest services, and this is, I love that this is kind of the route you took, because I think it's interesting there. You know, how were you able to parlay that into what you're doing now? Because like you just mentioned too, and this is why it popped into my head, was you're like, hey, yeah, well, nothing is given to you, you know? So I imagine that it wasn't like, oh, there's me in guest services, let's bring her on the, you know, marketing team, you know, could have been, I don't know, but you know, what was that like to get you into that position?
So guest services, first of all, it was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. It really was, because you're interacting with people all day, you know, you see different guests every day. But I started my first day on the job, I was scanning tickets, you know, mm-hmm. at the game. Mm-hmm. And, you know, welcome to the ballpark, you know, enjoy the game. And then, you know, maybe next week it was, now I'm in the elevator, mm-hmm. operating the elevator. And, you know, the biggest thing was I noticed from time to time, especially being in an elevator where there's nobody else but you and the other person riding the elevator. It's a very private space. And I think, you know, when we were at Lynn, they would always say, you know, do you have your elevator pitch?
Right.
I don't know. Right. Yeah. They were like, if you're ever, and I always thought it was like, there's no way that will ever happen.
Right. Right.
And then here I am in an elevator every week.
Giving, pitching, you know, away. Pushing buttons.
And it's just guests are coming in, and every now and then, who else rides the elevator? The people that are working in the front office.
Right. Right.
And every week I was around those people, and you get 15, 10 seconds with them, and you have to make it known. You don't want to come off as like, oh, here, I'm asking you for this job. It's just things that will make them remember you. You know, so like somebody would walk in and I'd be like, oh my God, like, I love your shoes. Like those are so, and just like things were like, hey, that's the girl that liked my shoes or whatever, mm-hmm. you know, or complimented on this. And then later on, you know, once I started getting comfortable, I started seeing these people every day. Once I ended up applying for my new position, they were like, weren't you the girl that liked my shoes in the elevator? And I'm like, yeah, that was me. Yeah. That was me. So it was just networking, talking to, great to talk to people, you know, that you have to open your mouth and talk to people and build relationships, because you never know who you're talking to or, you know, who they know. And so that was the biggest thing.
No,
not afraid of being in that introduction, because you don't know where it's going to lead you.
Did you actually like those shoes? Did you actually think they were good looking shoes?
not, you know what, usually yes, I did want to be honest with them. You know, sometimes it was, I liked your shirt. It wasn't always the shoes, or sometimes, you know, they had food and I was like, oh, that looks great, you know, but always so just something
fair to fun. Say that compliments coming out of your mouth are genuine.
Yes, no, for sure. Okay. I was very careful with what I chose.
Yes. But that honestly, you know, all jokes aside, is a very important point to make too, is that, you know, even as subtle as something, you know, a compliment could be about, I like your shoes, I like your shirt, it's an easy thing to do, but I think it's also important to be genuine. And so I want to hear your take on how do you go about being genuine in these short conversations, whether it's literally in an elevator, in passing with a coworker, to build these relationships? How do you go about doing it in a genuine way?
I think the number one thing is to just smile. That's like number one. You want to first smile. You know, everybody loves to talk to somebody that's smiling and is happy and in a good mood. And, you know, somebody comes in the elevator. Oh my God. Hi, how are you? That food looks great. You know, and just, how's your day going? Ask people how their day is going, you know, or what'd you do today? Oh my gosh, you ready to go home? I'm ready to go home too. It's been a long day. And just acting like you, not acting, but showing that you care and that, you know, you want to build relationships with people, especially when you see them every day and they start knowing and remembering who you are, then they want to know how your day is going too. And it's a mutual thing. Mm-hmm. You know?
No, that has a lot of close ties to this idea of hospitality, you know, and what I would imagine you would learn in hospitality, but that's not what you studied in school, right?
No, I studied sports management.
Right. Is that a personality trait of yours, I would say, to be warmer and to be welcoming, or is that something that you learned through guest services? Is that something that you learned, hey, I'm in this environment, this is how you're successful in this environment? Where did that personality trait come from?
I think part of it did come from guest services, because that was just part of the job. You know, you were talking to guests every day and they wanted you to be welcoming and inviting. But I think the one person that really impacted me the most with that was my older brother. Mm-hmm. He's a very confident, you know, just positive, always has a smile on his face person, loves talking to people. And I used to he's like my best friend. I would hang out with him all the time, and, you know, we'd go places, and he's just, everywhere we go, people want to talk to him. You know, people, you know, just, you know, tell me more about yourself. And I'm like, what is it that you're doing that is making you so likable? He's like, smile, be, you know that, like, you're in a great place, and, you know, just like all these positive things, like, you have, like, there's so much to be happy about, mm-hmm. you know, and just having that demeanor, having that persona, other people will see it, you know, and they'll want to talk to you. And he, by far, like, just taking that advice from, changed so much for me moving forward.
Yeah, no, I love that. It's smiling is a good thing. It's good for you, you know.
Yeah, and it makes you feel good when you smile.
It does. So now, as you're driving, you mentioned before we started, it's about an hour commute, you know, with traffic. And we discussed, no matter where you are, when you're headed to Miami, it's always going to be an hour at least. So are you smiling throughout that drive too? Or do you save up that energy and release it all when you're at work?
A good playlist to keep me alive, because the traffic can get boring.
Right.
But no, definitely some road rage at times in Miami come out. But no, good playlist, whether, you know, just picking my playlist for the day and just making sure that it's making me feel upbeat. You know, I'm just thinking about what I have to do throughout the day, you know, what the day's going to be like, and it gets me excited, you know, seeing my coworkers. I love the people that I'm working with, and that also makes me happy. So definitely that, for sure.
That's really, really cool. I love it. So now we've driven to work, right? We talked about how we got there. Now we've actually driven there. We're at work now. And you shared a bit about what you do on a day-to-day basis. But, you know, I think that, you know, I'm sure you see this a lot of times when people hear, oh, you're in social media, they're like, oh, that's just running Instagram. That's just this. Or you just tweet, or you just do that, you know, and there's a world more that goes into it. And so can you kind of catch us up on what actually goes into being on a social media team? And then we can use, obviously, you know, pro sports and the Marlins as the example, you know, for any things that you want to share there. But what actually goes into running social media and being part of the marketing team in that regard?
Right. So, I mean, as you said, people think it's just taking a picture and posting it with a caption. Just one post, it's like a sponsorship post, you know, it's working with a so much goes into that in terms of getting it approved by all the right people. You know, we have a huge partnership who will come to us with all these ideas that our partners have. And, you know, let's say it's Delta, you know, for whatever, you know, that brand. And now we have to make a post that's towards Delta. So now it has to go in planning on the calendar. When are we going to have these posts come out? When is the best time for them to come out? You know, what kind of posts are we going to do? You know, are we going to have, who's going to be involved in it? Is it going to be a video? Is it going to be a photo? You know, who's gathering the content? Who's going to do it? You know, these people have other responsibilities as well. You know, let's make sure that we're all on the same page, you know? And it's just, I would say scheduling is the hardest thing, just because there's so many days of the season, especially when the team is traveling. You know, they're not here for half the time. And just also meetings within the office and getting it approved by the right people. So now we have the content. Now we have to send it back to the partnerships people, make sure that Delta likes it, you know, make sure this brand likes it. And are they happy with it? Now what changes need to be made? And it just, so like one post for like a partnership brand can take weeks, you know, and it's just, I don't think that people understand that, especially with something in pro sports where every little thing matters, because, you know, people are paying for a certain type of post, you know, they want it done correctly, of course. And so just nitpicking all those small things takes so much time.
Yeah, that's really interesting, because I'm still involved in some capacity, and like, you know, my background's in filming and editing, and you do stuff in social media, but you know, never really working in social media outside of my own thing. It's like, I know from the outside, there's so much that goes into it. Never in a million years I think about what the heck goes into a partnership. I was like, good God, here's something. My pulse and my heart rate is rising. Like, you know, it's having to get it approved by them and then making the changes and stuff like that. That's intense. That's a lot of stuff. And so is that something that is fun for you, or what gets you going about the social media and I guess the marketing side of things?
I think, see, like all the hard work that you put into these posts, whether it's a partnership brand or just anything else, like related to, you know, Marlin's content or your team's content, just working so hard on it. And then once you publish it and it's like that relief, like, okay, it's out there, it's done. Now let's see how it does. And seeing it perform well, that has to be like the most rewarding thing. And knowing that also your team around you sees it and, you know, other people are recognizing it, that has to be the most rewarding thing. And seeing that it was successful and that everything that everyone, every part that everyone played was worth it, you know, and we all did our job. We all did our part and everyone did an excellent job. And now look at it. It's thriving. It's doing great. It did its part.
Mm-hmm. And how do you treat, or how do you handle something that you put so much time and you put so much effort in and doesn't necessarily do as well as you thought or hope? I know it's a rare occasion, you know, especially, you know, if you're behind the camera there, but how do you deal with that?
Communication.
Mm-hmm.
Communication is just absolutely key. I think sitting down with the rest of my team and just saying, hey, you know, this didn't work. You know, we felt good about it. You know, it looks great, but why didn't our audience react to it well? And just kind of breaking it down and say, well, what went wrong? Was this part okay? Or, you know what, maybe it was this, or maybe the video was just too long, you know? And it's just finding that balance and seeing what your target enjoys the most and kind of process of elimination, you know, and just working as a team. And usually I would say, yeah, it always gets done. You know, we always end up figuring out with everybody around it. We have such a large team behind us that we're able to break down everything accordingly. So.
And how much or little are you all taking and learning from either other teams in the league or other leagues themselves, or, you know, maybe other companies and their social media and their marketing? How much or little do you take from the surrounding world of social media?
All the time. Like all the time. Like our competitors, just analyzing your competitors does so much. And I think we underestimate that a lot. But I mean, looking at it from like a sports, you know, playing a sport, all you do is analyze your competitors. It's the same exact thing. You know, what did the Heat do? Or what did the Dodgers post? You know, what did this team do for this? And just comparing it and, you know, oh, this team did this, but this team did this. Which one kind of works for us? And meeting in the middle, you know, finding a common ground. And looking at our competitors is something we do every day. I'll be scrolling on TikTok and I'm like, oh my gosh, like, I have to write this down. I'm like, that's brilliant or whatever, you know, how can we, and you know, how can we take something that they did here and apply it to us, you know, and make it more our thing, you know, and twisting it a little bit. All the time we look at our competitors.
So do you have, and this may be, you know, putting you on the spot here asking, but do you have an example that you come up quickly? We're on the clock here, but an example that you come up, I'm just kidding, that you come up quickly where you're thinking like, hey, this is something I saw and this is how we adopted it to fit our brand.
Something that we saw from somebody else. I think we saw recently, and my manager actually saw this. I don't know if you've seen on TikTok, and I don't know when this, because we haven't uploaded it yet, but but I don't know if you saw on TikTok those filters where people are choosing like who sits at the table, like, or like on the plane. And I don't know,
okay,
it's like
okay.
Those smart filters where like it'll change like to a celebrity's photo and it's like who's sitting at the lunch table today, and you know, and then all these celebrities are there and you just kind of pick like who, you know, who's there. So came up with, my manager was like, we have to do something like this. And you know, like, we're the Marlins, so we're swimming, we're fish, so who's gonna be in our pool lane, you know, who's in this pool, who's in this pool, who are you gonna go swimming with today? And it's like all of our players, and it's just little things like that where like it's completely different on TikTok, you know, but we were able to apply it and make it our own, you know. Yeah. Stuff like that.
And this is what's a lot of fun for me, is because you know, one of the prior episodes I did with Alex Rogoff, who he's working in Congress, and he talked about how, and wow, this is the funniest thing. He literally said, he's like, oh yeah, you know, when I'll get a call, you know, I got a call from Washington. I was like, what a cool thing to say. What a cool thing to say.
Say it again. Say it again for me.
Yeah. And so in, when we were talking, he was saying that, you know, it's really important for him to stay up to date on the news and all these things and, you know, see what's essentially trending in his space, you know, of government and foreign affairs and all that kind of stuff. And the more you were talking, this is why it all popped in my head, is because it's still the same strategy that sounds like you're doing, is staying up to date with what's trending in your industry, you know. And that's what's so cool, is learning and pulling from all these different things. Because on the surface level, you have Congress and pro sports, you don't think about them operating the same way, but there is a lot of that crossover there. And so that's really cool. It's just a thought that popped in my head and I shared it. So
But I mean, that makes so much sense. You know, they're on completely different aspects of the world, but the strategies are always there, you know, it's the same concepts.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So kind of looking forward now. So we went in the past, we drove to work in the present, looking forward. Where does Mia want to go? What does she want to do when she grows up? What are we working towards? And that's $1 million question. Don't feel like you have to have all the answers, because that's what this is all about, is finding out the answers. But you know, what are some of the things that you're hoping to work towards?
I would say, as of now, so my dream job, especially I would say when I was towards the end of college, was to do social media for an MLB team. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was, you know, when I wrote down my bucket list or my goals, like for my New Year's resolution or whatever it was, like that was on there. And being able to check that off as of right now has been unbelievable. But I would like to continue, you know, especially in social media. I do enjoy it. As of right now, that's where I'd like to be and like to stay. But I would just like responsibility as time goes by, you know, more trust within the company and, you know, more independence wherever I can, you know, and just kind of growing with the company, feeling you're being put in positions where, you know, they trust me and I feel I can be beneficiary and I can give back to not only the team, but also to the community as well. But definitely in social media and just growing with that and seeing where it can take me and seeing where it can take the Marlins and how I can be a part of that.
Man, I love it. I love it. And I have no doubt, you know, that you're going to be able to take it wherever you want to go. So I'm excited, and just to kind of be in the back seat watching, you know, the entire way. So that's really cool. So as we are coming to the end of this, you know, there was a lot jam packed in the short time we spent together here, a lot of great stuff. It's time to cash out. This is where you leave us with your most valuable piece of advice to give the listeners a little extra money for the road. So what do you have for us today?
I would say networking has been by far the most important thing in my career. You never know who you're talking to. You never know who they know. And you can't be afraid to put yourself out there. You can be in the most uncomfortable position. I don't care. Talk to the person next to you. Introduce yourself. You know, make a friend. Because in the end, I promise you, you're going to see them again. be nice to everyone that you meet. You're going to come across them again. The sports world, as big as it may seem, it is so small. You see the same people all the time. So just be friendly, help people. You know, when, as you start growing, you start, of course, becoming wiser, more experienced, and you find somebody else who's maybe not where you are now. And, you know, maybe they're where you used to be, help them, because you know that that's where you used to be. And you used to be scared. You know, you used to be a little fish in a big pond. So always be there for other people and just help each other out and network with each other.
Beautiful, 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 beautiful. Mia, thank you so much for coming on today. This is a lot of fun for me. I'm excited, like I said, to, you know, see where you're going, and you just dropped knowledge bomb after knowledge bomb. So big shout out to you. So thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Ben. It was great.